In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Many think the days have to get worse for Christ to return, that there will be some immediate sign shortly before he comes. This is not true. Christ says, "I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened." The signs of Christ's return were all fulfilled before 100 AD. St. Peter, Paul, and John saw them. And each of them wrote as if Christ was returning in their lifetime. They urged their readers to watch and pray, lest that day close on them like a trap. Nothing has changed. The signs are still out there, still repeating in each generation at various times and places throughout the world. With the globalization of news, we see it more clearly. Tsunamis destroy coastal cities. Earthquakes pop up out of the blue in one city the next month in another city halfway around the world. Here in LA, we're waiting for the next big one. We know it's coming. Comets streak across the sky. Summer and winter storms ruin our plans. Even for us, a rainstorm changes what we can and cannot do. Forget the scientific explanation. Jesus said that these are signs of his coming. And so science simply explains how God sends them, for God always works through his creation. Even the daily rising of the sun points to the resurrection on the last day. It is his creation, and it testifies of him. The universe is unraveling at its very seams, groaning as in the pains of childbirth. Sin has taken a toll on it, man has abused it, yet still God sustains it. Nation wars against nation. One group fights another. We can't keep track of it all. Men, women, and children hide in terror, trying to survive in war-torn cities. Countries are on the brink of war. We ourselves have enemies, but we're not always sure where. Terrified, we judge people according to age, race, skin color, or education. We're trying to protect ourselves, and it's much easier than actually talking to them. Anxiety controls many. They don't know what the world will be like in the next 4 years, 8 years, 20 years from now. Will there be enough oil left, enough food, enough water, enough resources for this ever-increasing population? Man also seems to be unraveling, groaning as in the pains of childbirth, anxious and perplexed, and yet still God preserves us. Everyone sees these signs, but very few know what they are signs of, and even fewer know what to do. In this month of December, this distinction between the world and the church is clearly seen, probably more so than at any other time throughout the year. The world tries to escape reality. The world tries to escape reality with a magical season. The year is hard and long, many joys, but also many sorrows. So if they can just have one season, one month, to capture for a brief moment those warm, fuzzy feelings and good memories, it would all be worth it. Forget the bad diagnosis and just enjoy the season. Put aside discord and just get along. Turn sadness into joy for at least 1 month so holiday music is pumped into stores. Sales and catchy slogans fill our eyes and ears as they try to make this a December to remember. Holiday parties fill our schedules. As the world begins to pack on the holiday weight, living in excess luxury or dissipation, as Christ said, though still throwing out half of it. It shouldn't surprise you. They too see the signs, and yet for 1 month they try to forget it all. The church, however, is different. Christ says, watch. So we watch. We watch for him to come, but we also watch ourselves closely. We can easily get sucked into the world's Christmas nostalgia and fuzzy feelings, all to drown out our pain and our sorrows, all to try to forget the realities of our own life. So cookies are baked, the house is decorated, presents and food are bought, all in an effort perhaps to find joy, and perhaps, just perhaps, to forget about the reality and the hardness of our own life, just for a brief moment. If only every day were Christmas, we think. Then families would always get along and our hearts would always be happy and joyful. For one, Christmas is not always what we imagine it to be. We build it up and it can never possibly live up to our expectations. And two, be careful, or your own hearts will be weighed down with all of this stuff, and that day will close on you like a trap. The world celebrates to escape the signs, but not us, not the church. We're not trying to get away from the signs. We're not trying to ignore reality. We're not trying to forget our own lives. But we pay attention closely to them because they are signs of Christ's coming. They call us to repentance and faith. And so our December looks completely different than the world's. The world's is marked by decorating everything. Ours is marked by simplicity. No decorations yet, at least not here in this sanctuary. We're waiting. We're waiting, not for Christmas, not for one day of joy and happiness, not for one day to forget about sorrow and pain, but we're waiting for his return and an eternity of joys and gladness, an eternity free from pain and sorrow. The world's is marked by parties. Ours is marked by repentance. Purple is the color of repentance. Only repentant faith will stand up with head lifted high as the world continues to unravel. The world's December is marked by shopping. Ours is marked by prayer. The busier the world gets, the more we need to be here, for the more distracted we too become. So watch and pray. Wait for him. You see the signs. They're everywhere. When you see them, you understand this Advent season is not about waiting for Christmas to come, but waiting for his return in glory. And then you will also understand what you are to be doing this December and really every other month of your life, watching and praying. Pray that you may escape all that is about to happen. You don't ignore road signs, so don't ignore these signs either. Do not let the world turn your attention away from all that is going on with the promise of a memorable month. Don't let the parties fill you with dissipation, that is, with wasteful luxuries or with drunkenness. Stay alert. Watch your life closely. Live in repentant faith, even as you bake cookies and shop and wrap and decorate and string lights and attend parties. But do not let any of these things deprive you of your prayer. Understand, we are not praying to God to get God to do things. We're not trying to bend him to our own will. We do not need to stroke God's ego or to trick him into acting. We pray because he commanded us to pray. We pray because he promised to answer. Faced with the realities of this world, faced with the reality of our own life, we don't try to ignore it, but we pray. Lacking an answer, a solution, a resolution, we pray. We refuse to believe that God can't hear us. He always hears the prayers of his children. We refuse to believe that God won't answer. He always answers. Prayer is that trust that somehow, some way, despite what our eyes see and our reason understands, somehow, some way, there is a way out. And it is found through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In his name we pray, because he is our righteous Savior who speaks us righteous. He is standing with us as the world continues to hide behind magic and decorations and lights and cookies. He stands with us so that we may stand before him as a forgiven sinner, hiding behind his righteousness. This word of forgiveness stands forever. No trouble can change it. No change in our life can destroy it. No decoration can improve it. What he says stands the test of time and endures throughout eternity. Why would you want to substitute the world's magic for his salvation? His salvation, your salvation, is real, even as these signs are all too real. These signs were all fulfilled on Good Friday. The perplexed crowds mourned his crucifixion. The heavenly lights fell from the sky and refused to shine. And the disciples wondered what's next. The centurion understood these signs. Surely he was the Son of God. So why would you want to ignore these same signs when they direct you back to his atoning death? may call you to repentance, to remember that Good Friday, and to wait for his return when he will usher you into eternal glory. Because of that Friday, you don't need to fear natural disasters or the news or the future or the reality of your own life. You do not need to fear what might happen next. Certainly the signs are scary. They can shake even the bravest of us at times. But remember his enduring word, it is finished. Then all fear must flee, and doubt must be replaced with trust. For he gives these signs for your good. So they are not so much marks of an unraveling chaotic world, but they are signs that your redemption is drawing near. Salvation is on its way. Your brother is coming soon to take you home. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.